We may now return to the chapter which we read, the Lord being pleased to help us, in the Gospel according to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we may read again from verse 28. John chapter 4 and verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We have in these verses the evidence of the work of grace which had taken place in the soul of this poor sinner, whom we know as the woman of Samaria. And one thing that is remarkable is how quickly that fruit appeared. The fruits of the work of the Spirit in her soul and began to spring up almost instantly into appearance in her life. And we read the Lord promising in his word to be as the dew unto Israel, so that they would spring up as the lily and cast forth her roots as Lebanon. And it is said that the lily grows up very rapidly to begin with. And that is what this woman here is like. The living water has come to be in her soul. The dew has come to rest upon her. And she is now springing up like a lily. And as the Lord would help, we would like, without giving out heads in advance, to look at the evidences of this work of grace in the soul of this woman. And to begin with, we see that she left her water pot. Now, taking that at the most simple way of understanding it, we can say, can we not, that she momentarily forgot about her daily affairs, her daily calling. And although grace is so far from making men to do that in a permanent way, it rather tends to increase our diligence. But yet, mark of a true work of grace in the soul, either in its beginning or when revived with power thereafter, includes this, that it will lift us up above the things of time and sense. It is a transcendent glory which is revealed to the soul when Christ is first revealed to the soul. And we see something of the power of the work that took place in this woman's soul when she, having come out on an errand to take water home for whatever reason, to drink, to wash, to clean, she now forgets about that errand. And that is because the matters of eternity have taken a powerful grip upon her soul. And so it is that under the work of the Holy Spirit, there will be times when we are lifted up above the things of this world, so that we are closed in with the one thing needful. Though there may be a temptation to be careful and troubled about many things, yet there are times when we are lawfully to turn aside, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and to be taken up with the one thing needful. And perhaps we can say that a communion season is one such time when we are, as it were, to a great extent, to leave our water pots, to come aside and to consider, as Moses did with the bush that burned and was not consumed. He said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, the bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. And we might also think that her leaving off her water pot was symbolic of something even higher. With regard to the literal water pot, she would return. She would use that water pot again. She would need still to come to the well where she came this day to draw the literal water. But she had been drawing from wells other than the well of literal water. She had been drawing from the well of the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. And often she sought to slake her thirst at these wells. But the Lord, Jesus, having met with her soul, and a true work of grace having taken place there, we say that once and for all, she left the water pots in that metaphoric sense with which she was drawing from the polluted pleasures of sin, which are for a season, and she did so, never to return. She had tasted of the living water, and having tasted of the living water, it would break the thirst that she had for the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. And so it will be with us. If we ever tasted aright of the living water in that day, our taste for the broken cisterns which can hold no water came to be dealt a death blow. And although there is remaining sin, yet the dominion of sin is broken. And we leave these water pots and these wells behind, because we have tasted something sweeter. We have found something better. And then we see another evidence of grace beginning to spring up in her experience, in the concern that she now shows for the salvation of others. And that fruit, as I said, springs up instantly. We see other evidences of that with different fruits of the Spirit. We see, for example, in the likes of Lydia, when the work of grace took place in her soul and the well of living water was put within her, the grace of brotherly love sprang up instantly. She would open her house and show kindness as she could to the Lord's people. And what we have here springing up in the woman of Samaria is a compassionate love to those that are without. And she, having tasted herself of the sweetness of the living water, having come to be a partaker of the redemption purchased by Christ, she has now a desire that others would come to have the same. And so we find her with an urgency, instantly leaving her errand and going her way into the city and saying to the men whom she knew and who knew her, who knew what a sinner she was, she now says to them, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That was her desire for others, that they would come and see what she had seen. And as she is saying, as the psalmist was, having tasted himself of the mercy of God in Christ, and he was saying, taste and see that God is good, who trusts in him is blessed. And if ever the Lord took to do with your own soul in a saving way, this came to be in your soul, a desire that those whom you knew, those whom you who were closest to you perhaps, especially, would come to have the same blessing of salvation as you had, so that as opportunity would arise, you would adopt the words that the woman here had on her lips. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, in these words, there is, come, see a man, there is a call that sinners would make use of the opportunity that presented itself to them. They had a day of opportunity. The Savior was passing through Samaria. He was not there to remain forever. And this would account for part of the urgency that the woman felt. She saw that there was a day of opportunity, and she was calling upon the sinners of the city to come and to see a man who was passing through Samaria, knowing that the time was short. And she was calling them to come out in a physical way to the place of opportunity. And that is in our circumstances, like the desire which you might have that others would come to the means of grace. It was in the means of grace that you yourself found Christ, or that Christ found you. It was there that you tasted of the living waters, and it is to that place where you know Christ is to be found that you would desire that others would come. And at a communion season, your desire is, if the Lord has worked in your soul savingly, that others would come, that they would come to the means of grace, that they would come to the place where you yourself met with Christ, that they might find a blessing for their souls. And that is something which is required of us, that we are to be diligent in the use of the means. And to those of you who have not yet come to have the living water in your soul, who have not had a saving meeting with Christ, we say to you, come and see, be diligent in the means of grace, come to the Word of God, and come there to look for him, come to the preaching of the Word, be diligent in the use of the means of grace, as they are places where you may meet with Christ. But while that is pleasing to the people of God to see sinners come to the means of grace, yet in this invitation here, there is something higher still. There is a call to come spiritually to Christ. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Not only that the men of the city would come out to the well, but that they would come to Christ himself. And that is the desire of grace, that others would not only be in the means of grace, but that they would come to meet with Christ in the means of grace. And that is the call of the gospel to yourself, who are like the woman of Samaria tonight with your unclean heart, who are like the woman of Samaria in love with the world, who have never met with Christ, who have nothing in your heart but barrenness and death, who have not the Holy Spirit, who are sensual, having not the Spirit, who have never tasted of the living waters. You who are to this point in your life, taken up with making a god of the lawful things of this world, and drinking it maybe also, no doubt, with many of you, from the broken cisterns of sinful pleasure, the gospel to you is, come and see. Come to Christ, not only come to the means of grace, but so come to the means of grace as that you would obtain a meeting with Christ to your never-dying soul. Come, that is, believe. Come to Christ like the bride did, who, in going to the means of grace, as it is described there in Song of Solomon, was not satisfied with the outward means, when she did not find Christ in these means. And therefore these words we may think of applying to the people of God as well, who have come already, who have come and who have seen Christ by faith. Come and see that... come to this, that you would not be satisfied with the mere means, but that you would be as the bride was, who, having gone about the city in the broad ways and the streets, and having met with the watchman who found her, and to whom she said, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth," was not satisfied with these outward things, but went a little further. It was but a little that I went from them. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and I would not let him go. That is what the woman of Samaria could say at the well of Sychar. I found him. I found him whom now my soul loveth. I held him, and I would not let him go. And that is her desire, and that is your desire for your own soul and for the souls of others. So that if you were unable to speak your heart, you might find it difficult to do so, especially to those who are closest to you in ties of flesh and blood. But if you had courage and grace to say it, your language would be, "Come and see, you need Christ. You need a saving faith in him. You need a saving meeting with Christ, such as I had in the means of grace. Come and see." And nothing less than that is salvation. Nothing less than having the living water, to get a drink of the living water, to come to Christ so as to believe in him. Nothing but that can bring to your soul what came to the soul of the woman of Samaria. Come and see. Come and see then. Come and see Christ, come and see him as he is revealed to you in the gospel. Come and see him at a communion season. Come and see him set forth in the word. Come and see him set forth in the sacrament. Seek that you would get a saving view of him and a taste of the living water to your parched and unclean soul. Now, one other thing which evidences the work of grace in the soul of the woman of Samaria is the sense of sin. The sense of sin which was prominent in her experience. That is what she is saying about this one. "Come see a man," she says. What will she tell them about him? What will she tell them about Christ? She will say, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." And that is a reference to his revealing to her the perfect knowledge that he had of her when he told her to call her husband and come hither. And she said, I have no husband. The Savior said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou, truly, he told me all things that ever I did. He revealed to me my sin. And it would appear that in his revealing to her that sin, which was most prominent in her life, it was accompanied with a thorough revelation to her of her lost and ruined state, and of the fact that all that she had ever done was sin. He told me all things that ever I did. Were there any good things among them, woman of Samaria? No, he told me all that ever I did, and all that ever I did was sin. And that was very prominent in her experience. Here was one who had revealed to her her sin, who had awakened her to a sense of her lost and ruined condition. And that is what Christ will do when he will give the living water, when we will give a saving meeting with himself. It will not be without conviction of sin, which the woman of Samaria had, which none else can give. O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. She could say, thou knowest my rising up and sitting down. It is all known to thee, what no man could know. It is known to thee. And ever after, Christ would be telling her all things that ever she did. And that is what is in a true work of grace, that we are brought to repentance. We are brought to be convinced of our sin and misery, and therefore to repent, know that we are sinners. She was a sinner before, an unclean sinner, known as a sinner, but now she comes to be a sinner in her own eyes, and ever would be thereafter. Christ would be telling her all things that ever she was doing still, showing her herself, like the Highland kitchen maid's prayer, Lord, show me myself. The Savior showed her herself. And that was powerful in her experience, so that when she describes Christ afterward to them, there is that in it. He told me all things that ever I did. And you think that was all he told her? No. He told her more than that. We can say that he told her, if we put it like this, he told her all things that ever he did. She could say of him, is not this the Christ? And that is, as the men in the city knew it to be, he is the Savior of the world. A sweet description to Samaritans. Not only the Savior of the Jews, but the Savior of the world, the Savior of poor Samaritans, the Savior of sinners all over the world in every age. He is the Christ. Is not this the Christ? He is a Savior who not only convinces of sin, but he reveals himself. And he reveals his person, but he also reveals his work, his finished work, so that however much light was given her, we do not know. But there is this in a saving knowledge of Christ, a glimpse of this and a growing knowledge of it in the experience of those who have the living water. He told me all things that ever he did, that ever he did, his righteousness, his finished work. He tells me all things that ever I did, which brings my own righteousness to nothing. I see it to be nothing but filthy rags. I have no hope of righteousness. I have no hope of salvation by my own righteousness. He has stripped me of that. But he does not leave me there. He also told me all things that ever he did. All things of his obedience. All things of his suffering. All things of his death. He has done all things well. This man hath done nothing amiss as he worked out salvation for the sinners whom the Father gave him to save. And our view of the finished work of Christ is in his saving dealing with a soul to show that he is a crucified Savior. However much light, as I said, might be given, varies much by degree, but there will be a glimpse of this, that Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, who wrought out a righteousness for those that had none. And in that she had a grip of his person. She says, come, see a man. He is a man. Come, see a man. That's what the Savior is. He is a man. But not a mere man. A man, she says, which told me all things that ever I did. A man who revealed to me that though he was real, a human nature, a true body and a reasonable soul, yet he was no mere man. For no other man could tell me all things that ever I did. Only God, as I quoted already, O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. Thou knowest my sitting up and rising down. It is all well known to thee, so that the revelation made to her soul and what she commends to others is one who is the God-man. A man. Come see a man. That is the gospel. To you, who are like the woman of Samaria at the beginning of the day with her unclean heart, and to you who are like her at the end of the day with the living water within her, come see a man. Come see the Savior as a man. He needed to be a man. You need a Savior who was man. If he was going to work out a righteousness, the divine nature cannot be made under the law. The divine nature cannot suffer. But the divine person of the Son of God took humanity. He was made a little lower than the angels in taking humanity in order that he might experience the sufferings of death, that he might taste death for those whom he is to bring to glory. For poor sinners like the woman of Samaria, come see a man. See him in the womb of the virgin described. See him born, see him in the manger. Come see a man, see him in his life, going about working out a righteousness, a real man. Under the law he is, yielding obedience to the law. Come see a man in Gethsemane, shedding, as it were, great drops of blood. Come see a man in Calvary, pouring out his soul unto death, saying, they pierced my hands and my feet. A man. Come see a man. In your nature, the nature that sinned must suffer, the nature that owed obedience to earn eternal life under the covenant of works must obey. And therefore the Savior that you need, if ever the living water would come into your soul, must be a man. Come see a man. Behold a man, said Pilate, with the one who was crowned with thorns, who was scourged, the flowers plowed along their back, they longed, their furrows drew. Come see a man. Behold a man. The man of God's right hand, the Son of Man, the seed of the woman, behold him. And there is in that, although perhaps we very little grasp it, a wonderful encouragement that you are to come to God, not only by a mediator, that is true. You cannot go to God directly, you cannot go to God for pardon, but you can come through the mediator. But this is in it, the mediator in your own nature. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and his manhood and his learning obedience by the things which he suffered has given him a wonderful compassion and fellow feeling for the infirmity of poor men. Come see a man, a faithful but also a merciful high priest made like unto his brethren, in all things, partaker of flesh and blood, come Come see a man. She saw a man, weary, sitting on the well of Jacob. She did not doubt the reality of his manhood. But as he dealt with her, he made it clear to her that he was more than a man. He was the God-man, a divine Savior is the Savior you need. Come see a man, but a man who can tell you all things that ever you did, a man that can say what no other man can say. Like he said to her at the beginning, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Who could say that? You would think that man was blasphemous or insane who would make such a claim, but he was revealing himself to her as one who is God as well as man. Come see a man who gave me the water of life and a divine Savior you need. And that's the wonderful person of Christ, that the Son of God became man, so was and continueth to be God and man, two distinct natures and one person forever. And you need a Savior who is divine, because the humanity must be upheld in order to fulfill the work given it to do. The humanity must be upheld under the suffering that it will endure of the wrath of God. Come see a man who is joined to deity, and who therefore finished the work, but also the divine nature was needed to give merit, to all that the manhood did. Christ obeyed, as I said, he obeyed the law's precept, he suffered the law's penalty, but he did so as the person of the Son of God. As one of the divines was saying, the human nature acted continually in the days of his flesh, but so did the divine nature, including in this way, that it was giving merit to all by way of obedience that the human nature performed, so that never was such honor put upon the law of God, more honor than from the obedience of all angels, from the obedience of innocent man to all eternity, had man never fallen. Come see a man who is God and whose obedience to the law is putting honor on the law and earning eternal life for the millions for whom he is representing. And that was what gave merit to his sufferings and to his death. It is described in one place. The blood that was shed is described as the blood of God, human blood, but blood belonging to the one whose person was the Son of God and whose human nature was in union with deity. Come then, see the God-man. And you need now a Savior who could tell you then all things that ever he did. As the God-man, how he could tell you how he satisfied justice. He could tell you how he wrought out redemption and obtained an eternal inheritance for those whom the Father gave to him. And now you need him, a divine Savior, to apply salvation to you, to send the Holy Spirit, to hear your prayer, to be able to hear the prayer of thousands of sinners and 10,000s of sinners at once on earth, to be able to make intercession. Yes, he is able to save to the uttermost, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for those that come unto God by him. Come then, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This is the desire in the heart of the woman of Samaria. She met with Christ, and she could reason. If he saved so great a vile and clean sinner as I am, I do not hesitate. I do not hesitate in going to the men and saying to them, each one of them, come see a man. I will make the offer free. I will make the offer indiscriminate. I will make it universal. I will exclude none. Oh, well, but would not the Lord Jesus perhaps be displeased with you, woman of Samaria, for taking that upon yourselves to be so free and to burden him perhaps with all these men that would come out and take up his time? No, what a lie that the devil would suggest. She was but uttering the words that the Savior himself had uttered. Two sinful men were following Christ once. They had been told, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he turned and saw them following. And he said, "What seek ye?" They said, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said to them, "Come and see." It's his own mind and will that sinners would come and see. And therefore, she has something of the heart of the Master here. She knew that he had said to her, as she was a sinner, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him. He would have given thee living water." She saw there the freeness of the gospel, that it was for sinners. It was in her sin that she was approached by the Savior. He would have given her the living water there and then, had she asked for it. And therefore she is bold to go to the city and to say to them all, "Come and see." That is what we say to you all here tonight. You who never came before, you who never saw before, come and see. Christ has said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And you who have come before and who have seen before, you are to come and to see again, remembering that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same now in his willingness that you would come and see, as ever he was when you came and saw it first, though you're feeling the uncleanness of your heart. He's telling you again all things that ever you did, so that you feel the corruption of your heart. But come at the communion season and be asking him that he would tell you again all things that ever he did, that he would give you a view of himself as the God-man Redeemer and the work which he accomplished. How good it would be if we would get such a view of him as would make us again leave our water pots behind, and that we would go on our way rejoicing. May the Lord add his blessing.